If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the divine creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Adapting to a New Reality, a time for divine resetting. So, if you're ready for that divine resetting, let's get on with it. Sit up straight if you can, if you're comfortable doing that. Take a deep breath and allow your higher awareness to glide down to the top of your head, illumining your mind, illumining every part of your being as it aligns and integrates, infusing your thoughts and your feelings and all the levels of consciousness that we move in and out of all the time. You, as a divine spirit, are ever-expanding awareness, multidimensional, moving constantly, shifting to new perspectives, depending upon which dimension of reality you're looking through. Every level has its own particular flavor, shall we say, presenting to us in various ways that as you begin to become more acquainted with your multidimensional self, you begin to identify the levels that you're moving through. There is a template, a geography, if you will, that is coded in gradations of light and sound and color, vibration, and frequency harmonics. You learn and are taught from within and by those great ones within whom and in whose company you operate, for we are never alone. We work, you could say, as a community of ever-expanding units of awareness. And as we move through these gradations, very fine-tuned, of color and light and sound, and the specific harmonics that are very characteristic of the various levels of consciousness, you cultivate and become that which is known as the spiritual traveler. A spiritual traveler is one who is adept at moving awareness through the different levels of consciousness, the different worlds, let's say, the different realities and timelines within these lower creations, which are endless numbers of worlds and creative spirits that inhabit the cosmos. But a traveler learns the keys to moving through those levels while maintaining awareness and sidestepping the traps. For there are many conditioned, let's say, zones, which when you get into them, if you don't know the keys of how to stay conscious in that level and keep moving the awareness through that level, you can get stuck. What does that look like? Well, it looks like maybe you reincarnate again and again and again in that realm, as many people have done, assuming they had reached heaven or as far as they could go and they stopped. But within the traveler lineage, we are taught that there is no end. There's always a plus in spirit. There's always a next. There's always a greater expansion. And it's endless. It's absolutely endless. Now, for some people, that might seem frightening. But that's only when you're not quite acquainted with yourself yet. You're still identifying with your little limited familiar body and the little radius in which you operate now in terms of your awareness, which for most people, it hovers around their family and their job and the community in which they happen to be inserted in any given lifetime. But you outgrow the pond, and you learn to swim within the ocean of being, an ever-expanding discovery and wonderment and awe. Yes, this is a path for probably a person who's more experienced, who's had multiple incarnations on this planet, because this planet is the launching zone to that which lies beyond. And so when you are ripe and ready to begin that journey beyond the limitations of a circumscribed body and identity and mindset, particular social patterning, when you're ready to transcend and go beyond into what has been called the far country of the realms of immortality, then you begin to come into alignment with that lineage which is called the spiritual traveler lineage. It's called other things as well, but I think spiritual traveler defines it very well, or mystical traveler, because it is the path of the mystic. And the mystic is one who is, let's say, immersed in the things of God. A mystic is one who is beginning to live in a different level of reality, a reality that is wholly divine. Everything is divine in one sense, but in the lower third dimension, it is not recognized as such. It's generally interpreted in terms of doctrinal and dogmatic assertions, largely drawn from the experiences of people who lived a long time ago and certain stories that are written in what are usually venerated as scripture. But the mystic does not live out of the written word, but out of the living word that arises from direct divine realization that occurs within the sacred heart. Again, we have told you that there is an entrance into the sacred heart, unique to each person, and it must be found by each person. And a mystic is one who has found that little tiny opening beyond the beyond that opens you truly into the path of the sacred heart, of the golden heart, of the heart chalice, which is the true Holy Grail. Yes, 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 it's all within. It's in you now. It only awaits your active earnestness to experience it. There comes a point when everything else disappoints you, lets you down, frustrates you, bums you out utterly and totally. Did you ever see that tarot card where there's a man sitting underneath a tree? His arms are crossed across his chest. He's looking down. He's very disconsolate. And there's a hand offering him a cup. That's the world, you see. It's always offering us a cup. There, sample this. Taste that. Go try to do that. It's always into doing, 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 and nothing ever gets done. It's the path of doing and doing and seeking and seeking and never accomplishing and never finding. It's the world of samsara that presents in all sorts of beguiling, tempting forms. Until you've been there, you've done that, you've tasted all of it, and you become like the man sitting under the tree, arms crossed, crossed his chest, eyes looking down, fed up, disgusted, been there, done that, tired of it. There's got to be something more. That is the beginning of entering the way of the mystic, the mystical traveler yet to be. So the mystical traveler knows each dimension through thoroughly exploring that dimension and getting to know how it operates and becoming aware of the traps that can cause you to become so attached to the phenomena of that level that you think that's it. Or you just like it so much you keep reincarnating again and again and again. That happens often in the astral and causal realms, because at the higher level of the astral and the causal, it is so fantastic. It's like your highest imagined blissful heaven. But therein, you see, the bliss itself becomes the trap. Therein, I guess we could say we get to the point where we have to slay the Buddha. You know the saying, if you find the Buddha upon the path, slay him. There comes a point when you have to go beyond the form, the ideal, that which you have venerated as it, with a capital I. You got to let it go and move beyond. That's hard to do, isn't it? We're very attached. Very attached. There's a story of Sri Ramakrishna who was very, very attached to the form of the Divine Mother. And he simply could not go beyond the form. And one day his guru, Tatapuri, grabbed a bottle and broke it and took the point of the broken bottle and jabbed it into the third eye of Ramakrishna and said, meditate here. And when you see the form of the Divine Mother, slash it. Very hard, isn't it? Many of us are what is called saguna bhaktas. That means we like God in a human form that we can relate to as a master or an avatar or as Christ or Jesus or, you know, put your own name to it. And it's very hard for us to realize that the whole goal is to realize you are not limited to a form on any dimension. The whole thing is to develop your own formless essence and embody your own energetic essence to where you don't need a body and you can create a body through visualization to suit any purpose that you would like to serve in time and space. Because therein generally function in a body suitable to the realm that you wish to appear in. But for a realized being, that is simply an option that you can move in and out of at will. You're not bound to that. And we're so attached down here in the third dimension to this body, which which, let's face it, after you get past a certain age, mostly it just hurts. You know, most people, when they're past 25, begin to develop the aches and pains somewhere, right? Or the emotional angst, or the mental confusions and problems. But you see, there's only one problem, and that's our belief that we are separate. That we're separate, somehow, from the all that is. And the only solution is the realization of our absolute oneness. Our absolute oneness, forever and always, with all that is. Now, I'm talking in a higher level. I'm not just talking about the lower frequencies and the lower levels. Those, let's say, are the product of our misidentifications. We, you see, in our corporate we-ness, are the ones that have actually created the astral, the causal, the mental, and the unconscious or etheric realms. We're the ones that did that through 18.5 million years of trying to be human, of trying to be separate, of trying to define a functional, fictitional persona that can survive within the lowest frequency band we call the material world. So 18.5 million years on this planet, and only God knows how many zillions and gazillions of years on other worlds, planets, and dimensions that also have a material component within their solar systems. But we're told that only upon Earth, quoting Sai Baba, the Avatar, that only upon Earth, in a human form, can one move into the formless, absolute, divine realms. Only in a human form. Pretty amazing. So it seems like the light and sound frequency of consciousness that we are serving as individualized units of that, as souls, it seems like it takes a full immersion in the deepest recesses of the lowest possible vibration to catapult us beyond the form and the materiality of the lower realms. So that's why, after eons of time, we finally get a human birth. And it has one purpose, and that is to realize the self that you are, and never having to return again in a limited human body. This time, this lifetime, for every single one listening, is for that purpose of realizing who you are beyond the bodily form and all its doings and attempts to do. That is your opportunity in this life. Sai Baba has said that speaking as the divine self, he's simply a symbol that represents who we are when we're fully grown up. He said he will give you what you want until you want what he has come to give. And he's not speaking as Sai Baba per se, but as the divine spirit. Divine spirit will give you what you want until you want what it has really come to awaken within you. And that's your own true, immortal, perfect wholeness. Your own godhood. And you talk to people and they want things. Gosh, they want success in the world. They want children. They want a partner. They want romance. They want money. They want to be known and famous. They want to have stuff. And you just have to kind of realize those people have a few more or many more lifetimes, where they're going to have to come back to the only place where they can have those desires fulfilled, which would be in a physical human life, which is by its very nature meant to be disappointing, frustrating, and never delivering what it promises. Everything the world gives you is for a very brief time before it's snatched away by something. If nothing else, death. But surely, it will not stay with you for long, whatever it is. That's that cup that the world keeps handing. Look, try this, do that. Wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like that? Razzle-dazzle, razzle-dazzle. So the mystic is a person that's awakening beyond these temptations that lead to absolutely nothing but broken hearts and disappointment. Oh, sure, the ego will offer you, you know, some little perks here and there. Because if it gave you only bad things, you know, we would wake up fast. But because it gives us some pleasurable experiences and some nice things for a time and a season, we get lulled into thinking, oh, this is what life's about. Hey, cool. Yeah, got a lot of money, got a really gorgeous spouse, this big mansion. I can go on a vacation anywhere I want in the world. It's a good life. Yeah, but here comes that old age, here comes that disease, here comes that death. And, you know, it falls like sand out of your fingers. And that's the reality that we transcend when we begin to turn our minds Godward and we become the mystic. So last week I shared with you a powerful shift that I'd undergone in consciousness, which landed me in an entirely new reality. After I posted the show on Facebook, several people contacted me to say that they'd had the same reality, the same shift into another reality. And a few of you also contacted me and said that you were in a cycle when you just felt stuck and lost. And you had no idea what to do next. It was like your world had just suddenly dropped out from under you. And it's because we are adapting to a new reality. And you are in a cycle of divine resetting. The old program has been snatched, apparently snatched, away from us in a new reality insert, apparently, as far as I can tell, has been presented to everyone. Well, I believe everything is for everyone. I have never subscribed to the belief that there's just a certain few that are going to make it. That's not the reality I've been shown or that I understand. When I speak to you, I speak to the uniquely begotten, only extension or son of God. But we are a collective. Jesus made it very clear in A Course in Miracles that we are the collective sonship. We are all the uniquely and only begotten love of God. Substitute the word love for son, and it makes more sense. God only begot or extended love, and we are that extension of love. And the love was temporarily, let's say, occluded or shadowed over or, you know, veiled by the mistaken notion that we had somehow left the divine home that we share forever with God. Somehow we felt we were cast out. But that's simply a story that we have bought into that's not true. According to Jesus, we have never left home. We've never been separated at any time except in our imagination. So the divine resetting is beginning to bring us into a greater degree of sanity. But what I found out is that it requires our direct creation now and not passive, waiting for something or someone to come and change. Well, change us on any level. You know, we have tried for millennia to change the planet, to change the world, to change society. And a lot of us are awakening to the fact that the only change is a change of our own mind. We don't have to change anything in the outer world, because the outer world is simply what we've projected from our own expectation and our own world view. So the outer world is fixed when you fix yourself. And since it's impossible to fix anything but your mind and the choices of where you want to place that mind, it all comes back, you know, and sits with us. So we are in a reset mode. And as far as I can tell, we are being reset into a higher state of conscious awareness. To carry on a bit with my own experience, that day, January 3rd, I kept saying the 4th because someone had given me a foreign calendar that was in error. So my experience actually happened on the 3rd of January. And later that day when I was doing my yoga, I was exercising in front of the open patio sliding doors, and I saw a beautiful spacecraft. It resembled one that had appeared before from Jupiter, so I'm assuming it was from Jupiter. And their spacecraft, when they are cloaked, have kind of a ribbed effect. They kind of have looks like a ribbing in the way the cloaking device shields the ship. So it's like a cloud cover. But you can tell it's not a cloud because it stays constant. It doesn't dissipate and move on as the clouds do. So I raised my hand to see if it was one of the command ships, because then I would get an energy signature in the palm. And I got the energy signature. And then they telepathically communicated to me. And they said that they were with me and were validating the experience that I'd had that day, that it was an actual shift. And that they were in the area and supervising. And I assume when they said that, they meant they were supervising all of us here on the planet that have probably been affected in one way or another by this sudden shift that we've gone through. And people who are into stargates and astrology and cycles and timing and all of that, there has been some really good channeling that has pertained to that. There was a very good message from the Pleiadians that was channeled that spoke of this time and what we're going through. And, it, you know, these things, each one seems to have a little bit of the piece of the puzzle that makes it all, you know, kind of co-resonate together. So you'll find also in the seers and the prophets and the people who get messages, each one will get a little bit different piece of the puzzle, because it's not shown in its totality to any one of us. Again, we are a collective sonship. So it's dispersed amongst us. So spirit is always trying to show you something. Always trying to show you something. And we need to pay attention to that. One of the things spirit showed me was not to try to return to a past experience, no matter how pleasurable. So often we'll have like a peak experience, a high, and then we'll try to repeat it. And since we can't, because spirit is like a fast-moving river, you know, it's trying to put your foot in the same spot in a fast-moving river. I mean, good luck, it doesn't happen, right? So spirit, too, when you're working with consciousness, consciousness is highly mobile. Absolute spirit, no. We're not talking about the paramatmic levels, which are, they don't operate in the same way. But when you're working within the field of what's been termed consciousness, or the collective, let's say, conditioned levels that we've all co-created, that level is very volatile. That's why you can have two, three, four psychics reading for a person, and they'll all read different things because the records keep shifting. The records are not stable. The records are being created by every thought, word, and deed of everyone, so how can they be stable? And so a reader may read a particular life for a particular person, and that may not even show up with another reader reading for the same person. So we're so multidimensional. We're all fractals of the all that is. So how can we be pegged or tied down to a this or a that? And you see, in the human dimension, we're always trying to be or become a this or a that. But you see how limited that is? You see how limited, how who we really are pales everything else in comparison. Everything else. People will think they're this grandiose person from the past. That's nothing. Why would you care who you were in a past life? Wouldn't you like to realize that you are the one that is embodied in every heart, that has played every role, that you are identical with the it that is? We settle for these little stories, and then we get so upset when our little story is contradicted, or God forbid, the illusion of the little story gets burst, and we're bereft. You see how attached we are to the littleness? We've got to let go. We've got to realize, you know what? You as an individual are not in charge. You're not in control. You can't even control one thought from another. You can't even control anything going on in your body. Great yogis can. But, again, why waste your time trying to master things like that, which the body does automatically at this stage of evolution? You can use your divine power of focus and visualization to waste your time trying to perfect your physical body or master the now unconscious processes of the body. A lot of yogis do that. But they keep coming back again and again and again until they realize, you're not your body. You're not the powers or the cities that you develop in that body. You're not that great person in history that you think so fantastic. And even if you were, that was then, this is now. So what difference does it make? Are you free? Are you free? That's the question. And of course, nobody who thinks they're their body and who identifies themselves as a person in this world is free. So, what to do? Well, we're here adapting to a new reality, for one thing. And this is the time for divine resetting. Divine resetting. I was shown in the past week that we have been stuck in the fourth dimension. We've been using 3D approaches and techniques, but nothing has produced any lasting results. Instead, we keep repeating and reinforcing habitual patterns over and over without getting any real results. But we'll say, it'll maybe be different next time, or I'll try this technique, it'll be different. Or this is a new year, it's going to be different this year, I just have a feeling it's going to be different. Isn't this what we tell ourselves? And yet, we repeat the habitual patterns over and over and over again. Why? Well, to begin with, nothing was ever broken. you are not broken. And thus you do not need healing physically or fixing your personal self or what is basically moving the mental and emotional furniture about in the room of your consciousness. In fact, those things were accomplishing absolutely nothing. We've assumed and are trying to fix a false persona that doesn't exist. Well, who exists? The divine one that you've always been exists. It's gotten caught up in habitual patterns, that's all. It's bought into the social conditioning of its era, what it sees on the news, what it's been taught by science and education and religion. It's just going along, you know, not really thinking, not really questioning. Why should I believe this? Why should I think of these things? Why should I associate myself with these things? Where did these ideas come into my mind? But you see, only when you're approaching that stage of wanting to move beyond the world do you become the mystic. And the mystic is the one who will ask those questions of themselves. So just to give a template so we can look at this thing, we're going to call it third, fourth, and fifth dimension. Third being the world that you see when you drive to work on the freeway. Fourth being the let's call it the happy dream of where we're dreaming, we're healing, and we're forgiving, and we're meditating, and we're doing all those things to become more spiritual and more awake. Let's call that the fourth dimension. And then the fifth dimension where we move into living love, or the golden age, or the fifth world, or the dimension of the soul, where we're love, happiness, and wholeness. That's it. So the fourth dimension contains our grievances, our grudges, our judgments, our sense of unworthiness, our dislikes, our againstness, our polarizations, our hatreds and avoidances, all unresolved issues. Everything we've excluded from our loving acceptance. That, in my definition, would constitute the fourth dimension. I look at it like a big strainer. You know, it only lets the juice go through, not the pulp and the seeds. So all that withheld love, all of that negativity, that againstness, that otherness must be released into divine love and consigned to grace. We must give it all over to the Holy Spirit. That's why I continually speak of the teachings of A Course in Miracles. Jesus said we were not getting his message. We were interpreting it entirely in terms of his physical form or ego. We were interpreting the teachings of Jesus in terms of the ego mind. And it outpictured as a rather nasty little point of view that if you don't do it this way, if you don't, you know, accept the physical body form of Jesus, you're going to hell. That's like the most extreme example of distorting the master's teachings. Every master comes for everyone. And they do not care in the least whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, an atheist, a Wiccan, or whoever, agnostic. They do not care. They don't even notice that. All of the masters work as one. Krishna, Rama, Buddha, Sai Baba, Jesus, Maitreya, the mystical traveler. Throw in any name there that you can think of. They all are here to awaken you to the perfect love that you are. Period. That's it. So when you get into a little cultish belief system, an ideology that excludes everyone but the small little few that do and say it a certain way, you're dealing with a big ego, misinterpretation. And then so often, Jesus gets lumped into that and it turns people against Jesus. That always bothered me so much when I was a little child. Even as a little child, I felt how mean-spirited and unjust it was to confine Jesus to such a small, small mindset. I mean, even at 6 years old, I could see that was a very mean mindset. But it bothered me nevertheless, and I used to pray constantly for the people who were suffering in purgatory. That was my biggest thing when I was a child, was I was continually praying for the souls that I was taught were suffering in purgatory because they sinned. But the real meaning of sin is to miss the mark of our eternal perfection, to miss the mark. It's an archery term. And we miss the mark every single time we identify with anything less than the perfection in which we were made by Almighty God. We are made in the image and the likeness of God, and God is not a body. God is not a body. Christ is not a body. Let's just say, God and Christ are immortal love. And so are we. Immortal love, perfection. So we keep trying to fix. And as much as we try to fix, we just reinforce the patterns. You see? We reinforce the fourth dimensional sense that you're broken, you're sinful, there's something wrong with you, you got to fix it. But in going to therapy sessions, nothing changes because the focus is upon something being wrong with you. The focus is on bringing up evidence from your past, dredging it up from your past experiences to establish a cause. But you see, past is past, and when you bring it up, when you remember it, you recreate it into the present and re-perpetrate it into the future. So when you go around thinking, believing, somebody did this to me, someone did this to me, the focus of energy then reinforces the story. And the story becomes the major focus of one's life. And thus it increases and gets bigger and more powerful the more focus and energy one puts upon it. And the more often the story is told. So energy follows thought, and thought manifests as one's reality. And that's why people will spend years and years and years in therapy and spend thousands and thousands, maybe millions of dollars, and there's no lasting results. Yeah, I'm telling it to you very frankly. But Jesus does more than tell it to you very frankly. He shows you exactly how to turn your mind and allow the Holy Spirit that dwells within you as your own higher sense of self, how to turn the ravages of your mind and all of its misperceptions over to the Holy Spirit and allow the correction to be done from within. That's what the Course of Miracles, in a nutshell, is all about. Returning your mind to sanity. But it's not a doing on your part, it's an allowing on your part. It's a yielding to that which knows within you and recognizing that you really don't know. You don't know what you want. You don't know what life is for. And you certainly don't know what is in your best interests. There's a wonderful chapter in the Manual for Teachers in the back of the book in the Course in Miracles that has a chapter on trust, which probably for those of you who are students of the Course in Miracles, it would be good if you reread that chapter very, very often on trust. Trust is a big issue for all of us because very few people trust themselves. And if you don't trust yourself, you can't trust anyone else, much less God. So the important thing is to trust the words of the enlightened beings, in this case, Jesus, the author of the Course in Miracles. You place your trust with Jesus or one of the enlightened master souls until you have had enough personal experience of your own to develop trust in yourself, which does come with experience. But since the self within you, with a capital S, is identical with the Holy Spirit, is identical with Christ, is identical with Sai Baba and all the avatars and all the masters, it doesn't really matter. Because at one level, all of those forms blend into the one absolute creative spirit. The one absolute. So they all become the one at a certain level. Now, in the line of the spiritual travelers, Jesus often is the one that takes you up through all of the lowest levels up to the soul realm. When you get to the soul realm, sometimes one of the other travelers will come and take you then beyond, because at that level, again, they all become one. Will Jesus do that? Yes, I believe Jesus will do that as well. But his function is really salvation. And those pertain to the realms where people need a savior. What is salvation? Salvation comes from the root word in Latin, salve, which means to heal or to return to wholeness. The basic root of healing is to return to original wholeness. Now, what do we return? Our mind. Our mindset, our understanding. And that's corrected when you turn those thoughts of, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, you stop and you ask the Holy Spirit. 100% of the time, you will receive a very clear sense of what it is you're to do. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is silent because you're not supposed to do anything. People interpret that sometimes as God not hearing them. No. Spirit always hears you. Spirit hears you before you even speak, before you even think. So that silence is often when you're having that divine reset. And you're just supposed to chill and lay low. Just chill. What's so wrong with not doing anything? Sometimes it's wise to be like the big boulder. The big boulder just rolls down into the middle of the river. It doesn't care what the river does or says. It's just going to stay put. And what does the river do? It finds its way. It goes around it, under it, over it, whatever. But it accommodates the boulder. And the universe, beloved, will accommodate you. if you did nothing for the rest of your incarnation but sit like a bump on a log and just said, Lord, I just want you. I just want truth. I don't care about anything else. If you just did that, you know what? The universe would find a way to accommodate you, as it has for countless saints that have done just that very thing in India. But in India, you see, they treat you more kindly. They bring you food. Sometimes they build an ashram around you. Sometimes they worship you. They take care of you. You get free passes on the trains and the buses. You can stay in homes because people consider that to be a great blessing to accommodate you. But here, you know, in the Western world, they'll cart you off in the loony bin. You know, they'll give you problems. So here we have to have a functional persona that doesn't attract attention to us in the world, that makes us look out of sync with the world. We have to be in the world, but not of it. You know, what we do in our mind and our spirit, you know, that doesn't have to be conspicuous. We can love everyone divinely without making a big deal out of it. One of the best ways to love people is to leave them alone and let them do what they want to do. Who are you to correct them? That's not your function. It's the function of the Holy Spirit to teach and correct and guide every single human being. So Spirit is always communicating 24/7, but are you listening? Are you listening? So I would suggest that you cease trying to find someone to fix you out there in the world and begin paying attention to what is right about you. What is right about you? What is right about the world? And pay attention to what you are being shown each day by Spirit. What are you being shown each day? Now, adapting to this new level, how do you adapt to a level that you have no idea how to function in yet? You just take it one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and you walk with God, literally. You walk with the Divine Spirit, or your Master, whoever it is that you have looked to as your mentor. You take the hand of that person, and you walk each day, prayerfully, attentively, lovingly, and with faith. Because faith is the big, 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 biggie when it comes to the realms of spirit. Your faith is the very evidence of things that are unseen. It becomes the very manifestation of that which you have faith in. Your world becomes the very manifestation of whatever you have faith in. So faith is highly creative. And in the realm of spirit, it is the coinage of spirit. We all have faith. Usually it's for things in the world. We have faith we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. We have faith the sun's going to rise. We have faith in the person that cuts our hair. We have faith in the doctor that opens us up when we're unconscious and takes out organs. We have faith in our loved ones, sometimes misplaced. But you get the idea. We have faith when we ate our dinner tonight that it wasn't poisoned. We have faith when we get in an airplane that we're going to arrive at our destination. You see, we have faith in all these little things. But what we really need to understand and learn is that the things that are real are perceived spiritually, and they rarely densify into form in the third dimension. That takes a lot of energy for a spirit to do that, and they very seldom will. Unless you're so dense you can't get it any other way, then they'll give you some vision or phenomena. But if you're at all matured in the spirit, they're not going to waste energy trying to, you know, do some appearing and disappearing act for your benefit. Although they can and will. But just saying, when you grow up, it's like a mother. You know, when the child is able to take care of themselves, she turns her attention to the infant, doesn't she? You know, it's a certain stage, spiritually and also physically, in which, you know, you're supposed to have enough sense about you to be able to take care of yourself. And then when you become a mystic and you become a spiritual traveler, you no longer live for yourself at all. You live for others. And you take care of them. And you make sure they don't get caught in the traps on the interdimensional planes. And your life becomes a life of ongoing service and guardianship. And you outgrow personal self-concern. And so, as we are being shown how to operate in these new levels, we're switching to personal creation and personal free will in how you create your higher reality. And many of you probably are having dreams where, like I have, where I've moved into this ginormous mansion with huge bedrooms, which would represent states of consciousness. And everything is neat and clean, but it's not ornamented. You know, it's not filled out. It's not made pretty. It just feels kind of stark and without personality or character, so to speak. So as you move into these higher levels, that level may feel to you as stark and empty and nothing's happening. Why? Because you are the one that is going to make the happening happen at that level. You are learning to create out of your soul, out of your soul nature. And it's like I shared last week, where you begin to ornament your own heaven. You begin to populate and design your own higher dimensional reality, your own heaven. And that's going to be unique for each person. Personally, I believe that with this shift, we will not be going through some of the earth changes that probably could have happened on another timeline at a lower dimensional reality. But I no longer believe in any way that they're going to happen to affect us. I do not believe there will be a pole shift or a extinction event, as sometimes is portrayed on television, or any, you know, of the zombie apocalypse, none of that stuff. I do not believe there's going to be any of the things that the old school prophets foretold. I think there's been such a divine reset into grace, through the grace of the Office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek and all of the spiritual traveler lineages and all of you who have worked so hard for the well-being of all life. I believe that that's the reality that's outpicturing and will outpicture. My experience of last week is that there's still a bleed-through of the old reality, but it's less and less and less. It's like the two realities, you can see them kind of operating, but one is starting to give way to the other. And I know I have been completely different since the shift occurred for me on January 3rd. I'm physically different. I'm better in every way. And even physically, I feel very, very different physically. I continue doing the jogging on the beach and doing all sorts of sports with my master teacher, visualizing the activity in my mind. Today we went horseback riding on the beach. galloping through the waves. And then I started doing some of my old circus tricks on the horse. I was laughing because it's so easy to do in your mind. You can't fall off and get hurt. But that has really produced a wonderful shift in this illusion, which I call the physical body. The illusion of pain is subsiding. The mistaken mind, you know, with which I thought I had to suffer, is being corrected. You know, it's different for each of us because we've all created and manifested the reality in which we live. And we are now being given the opportunity to be able to live in heaven now while we're on the earth. And that requires us to move into the higher understanding of the soul awareness, which is happiness and love and wholeness and letting all the other stories just let them go. If it's an unhappy story, it's based on illusion. So let it go. If it's a happy story, you know you're headed in the right direction. So keep going. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Illusion hurts and it's hard. And truth sets you free. And it's loving and pleasurable. Which would you rather have? Go for it. So I hope this has been helpful. And let's again set our intention for the well-being and the happiness and peace of all beings everywhere on this earth and throughout the cosmos. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. And may we move into that reality, which is always happy when it's associated with truth and the divinity that we forever are. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Anai Hu. Anai Hu. Happy. Don't try to fix yourself. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and have a joyful and blessed week ahead. Namaste.